Welcome to South by Southwest at Esther's Follies. Here he is, the smartest man in the world, Greg Proops.
Hooray, hurrah! Once again, the smartest man in the world, Proopcast, takes to the ether. This time from the salubrious confines of wherever it is we are in Austin, ladies and gentlemen. Esther's Follies, I think, believe it is. I don't know the name of the room we're in. They brought me in one room through the back alley, and then I've been taken to this room. One of them's called Velveeta or something. So what's the name of this room? Does anyone know?
This room.
Thank you. Thank God we got that Buddhist crowd in that I asked for. Everyone's just come from the Tilda Swinton keynote speech, and you're all centered here. And I think that's so beautiful of you. You know, the world is so hectic, what with tech going on and showbiz and all of us convened here, pretending that this is going to improve our lives. And with all those things going on, that was a joke, with all those things going on, it's a comedy show, so laughing encourages me, it really does. It's fantastic to find a group of people so centered that, like, they're just happy to call it this room. You know what I mean? Be where we are is what I think I should. I'll describe it for you. This is what it looks like if your father and no homosexual man were given a job to decorate something. If a group of heterosexual men was allowed to have cords on the fucking floor and shitty color combinations, and then someone went, let's make the backdrop sparkly. So they put some lights in the drop that's behind me there. But you notice that it's not that shimmering acquiescence. It's not those burgeoning, mind-splitting fractals that you would get if you were to see Wicked or something like that. No, it's a bunch of straight guy shit hung from a curtain. That's how we do it here in Texas. You don't want things to get out of control aesthetically. Yes, I understand. We want to keep things contained here. And Austin seems to have done a great job. There's a beautiful, I don't know if anyone's ever been to Austin. I think this is only the second time we've ever, maybe the third time we've ever done a podcast room here. I'm so excited to be back. Thank you for having me. Austin is a place, all right, here, let me just describe Texas to you. There's people who listen in Ireland and other countries and stuff like that. Texas is an 11-year-old boy with a hard-on and a revolver. And he's running around at a truck stop with a T-shirt that says Texas and her 49 bitches on it. Thank you. I have actually seen that here in Texas. And then you'll stop and there's brisket and whatnot and barbecue and tacos. And strangely, all this food and culture from another country that's really close by. And then people here will complain, oh, Mexico, bragging Mexico. And you're like, Texas, what would you eat? Because what is Texas without, you know, Mexican food? Oklahoma. So once you get around Texas, and it's a big old freeway, and yes, there's dudes driving trucks that have balls hanging off the back of them, and dudes driving trucks that have horns on the front of them. Unironically, not like Ferlin Husky when he was high in the 60s. But like, thank you. I'll be making Ferlin Husky references for no one as the evening goes on. It's awesome to play places that are stanchions of American roots music and not have anyone in the crowd know who the roots musicians are. The other thing that chills me to the bone about South by Southwest is that devotion to detail. If I did say that the cinematographer for the Golden Compass was here, you guys would be like, what? So thank you. One person laughed. Everyone else says, we didn't watch the Golden Compass, Greg. That's for kids. We were busy adjusting the sexual assault button on the program we're making for our new game. Austin in the Alley After Dark, Unaesthetic. Programmed by straight guys for straight guys, for the enjoyment of other straight guys. The world has other people in it? What? Not my world, it's just a bunch of dudes I know. So then you drive around Texas and like, my family lived in East Texas, right? Like Coffee City, Lake Palestine. And there was a sexy, sexy lake there. And they have fishing. And if you've never been to Texas, no, you'd be like, oh, fishing, like, I'm not a big outdoors person, as you might have guessed. I have a very sexy swimming tuxedo that I wear sometimes when I go to the beach here in Austin to the Lady Bird Lake. I have a little flotilla, a little feathers, pink. I can't think of the word. What is it when you... Someone went, blow? Inflate. But thank you for that insight into the first thing that comes into your mind. If that is how you have experienced blow, so to speak, by someone huffing into a pipe, blow. One, you're going to be, if you're doing blow, you're going to get it everywhere that way. Secondly, if you're exercising one of the Latin conjunctions, fellatio, it's going to be uncomfortable at best. And you'll find that your man bag inflates in that instance, if there's too much puffing, as it were. Just giving you guys some safety tips. So Texas is like a big red car driving, right? And everyone, every time you pull into a filling station, a bunch of girls in miniskirts and off-the-shoulder 80s sweatshirts get out of the car in pumps and go, And then three dudes appear, one of whom doesn't have a beard, and they point like this, and they throw you keys to the red car. And then you're to get in that car. And when you meet someone, the request you're to make of them is to give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. And you're like, wait a minute, I don't even know you. Yeah, but I have a red car called the Penetrator or whatever it's called. Or the the Intruder. I don't know what their albums are called. One of them's called Intruder and the other one's called Finger. I don't know what it is. But it's there's always the red car, right? I mean, I remember them before they were the red car. And the whole crowd's like, who are we talking about now? ZZ Top, who now, because of recent events in the last couple of years, are simply Z Top. But I knew you guys would be sensitive about that. A couple of white guys went, oh, and one white guy, and I swear to you, and I hope you can hear this on the recording, ladies and gentlemen, went, what? Dusty, I believe, has traveled on that great trail into the sky, chasing, I hope, the live antelope and buffalo and snake and armadillo that were on stage with them in the 70s, enjoying their music. Because if there's one thing wild animals of the 70s loved, it was hard-driving heavy metal country. You know, I have this iPod here, and I never, ever do this, but because we're sitting together here, it feels good to... Will this play if I play it? Connect to Wi-Fi. So the answer is no. And so when you're in Texas, that'll happen a lot. Because as you recall in the videos of ZZ Top, or as they're known in England, ZZ Top, they magically and mystically appear, and then just as surprisingly disappear when they feel you've got the situation in hand with the girls with the off-the-shoulder sweatshirts. So, and in one video, they suggest that you should wear, I believe it's a top coat and a top hat, and yet they dress as if they have recently been ushered off of a boat of some kind at the end of a very long and draining journey where no toilet was offered. And that perhaps they might have refreshed themselves and trimmed what can only be described as outlandish Rip Van Winkle beards. And maybe dusted, there was an awesome squeak in the audience just now. And maybe dusted off those leather jackets, those Tommy Bahama leather jackets that are rocking so hard. And then, so you'll see that happen. And as I said, ZZ Top says, give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. And you're like, I don't know you that well. And then they're like, don't you stop until we're through. And you're like, all right, that's creepy. There's three of you. We don't have a safe word. I'm not yelling penetrator or whatever. So as you move through Texas, you'll find places of quaint and curious renown. For instance, the Alamo is not that far from here. It's a very famous spot where white supremacy was fought for tooth and nail by a group of psychopaths, aided by another group of psychopaths from Tennessee. And they all joined up in what is always described as a ruined mission. Maybe because the mission belonged to the Mexicans who lived there before, and you fucking ruined it, Davy Crockett, by kicking over shit and knocking down the wall so that you could shoot your musketry at the well-organized army of the legitimate leader of Mexico, Santana. Who, by the way, and I've covered this on an earlier Austin podcast, and it went over about this well. Slavery had been abolished in Mexico, but Texas, the Republic of Texas, the burgeoning republic, was fighting for its right to continue to have slaves. And that's the kind of fucking spirit that you will find here. We're in the probably the most liberal, tranny-loving, I'm guessing there might even be a feminist in this audience tonight. Now, we're in Texas, so understand me. I think there's other people than white people. There's a couple, which is nice. And so Austin is all that. And then there's Texas. You think I'm being harsh, but the Alamo, when I was there, by the way, the San Antonio, for all intents and purposes, is Mexico, which makes it fucking 20 times better than, say, like, Deep Ellum, which people drag you to in Dallas. When you go to Dallas, they'll go, two things. They'll go, call up Trudy on the telephone, send her a letter in the mail, tell her I'm hung up here in Dallas, and they won't let me out of this jail if she asks me. See, another white guy song. And yet I baffled white people with a white guy song. That was Charlie Daniels, who was an awesome rock star in the 70s. And then right before he passed away, the last thing he wrote on Twitter was Benghazi with an exclamation point. So he kind of took that Hank Williams Jr., are you ready for some January 6th football? He kind of took that turn toward the end there. Notice I make it a left turn because you'll find Bernie right around the corner from there. Yeah. See, I'm from where I'm from. I'm from San Francisco. We brook no dissent. And there's two things we know. One, everything. And two, no matter where you are isn't as cool as where you're from. So that gives my natural immunity to other places. So when you go to Dallas, they'll go, hey, man, y'all got to go down to Deep Ellum. All y'all haven't seen. You got bands and whatnot and music. And then you go and a guy will get up on stage and go, okay, hey, y'all, we all's fixing to play a song. And I'm like, well, fucking fix that song and let's go. Everybody's fixing a lot here in Texas to do stuff. They're not really doing it, but they're fixing to. Evidently, after the Alamo, everything was broken. Maybe that's because they ruined that first mission and never cleaned up. I'm making myself hysterical, by the way. What we're going to do later, Kurt, is we're going to boost my laughter to make up for the audience laughter when we actually release this as a podcast. So there I am in San Antonio. And San Antonio has a picturesque charm that's almost like Austin, except it's better. And like there's a river in San Antonio, but like the river here in Austin, there's like next to the river is like Corporate Park Johnson. And then like, oh, look, a dead thing. And in San Antonio, someone is smoking so much weed right now. God, that lifts my spirits. I was in the alley before the show and I thought I was going to get shot and shit. So I'm a little paranoid here because I Googled like, what are the laws in the marijuana laws in Texas for possession and for smoking on the street. And there was just simply a picture of the Greek King Draco. So, I was scared, but now I saw someone is right outside this door, fucking blowing one. I'm California sober, so I'm very acutely attuned, yeah. So no more tequila here for me, but I do inhale other people's weed as it wafts across the stage. That's what California sober means. You have to find a performing venue and then wait for someone to smoke weed near it. And then just breathe deep, the gathering gloom. Watch lights fade from every room. So I'm out in San Antonio, and on the river, our little boat covered with flowers and whatnot, blossoms, and people are getting married, and there's quinceañeras, and then there's little carriages covered with light to cover up the fact that they're torturing animals, and they clop, 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 clip, clop through the warm San Antonio darkness. And my hotel room had the tiniest balcony. I had to wedge myself out on it. And it had an air conditioner that had clearly been made by a company called Legionnaire's Disease Air Conditioning. Because it had that fantastic Texas tilt where, it, I don't know if anybody's old enough to know this. I have relatives from here. Swamp coolers, anybody? Swamp cooler. Like air AC is AC, the greatest invention of all time, by the way. Birth control, AC, you know, neck and neck. And because you can be too warm and just be like, stop. Give me all your loving, all your hugs and kisses too. Don't you stop until we're gross. Gross. I say when we stop. You gotta whip it up. No. You touch it if you want to touch it. I'm not touching it. And then what's the next line? Something and take it like a ton of bread. I don't know what the next. It's something so cliche bound that I can't actually remember the cliche that it's bound to, like Prometheus. ZZ Top's lyrics are bound to a rock, like Prometheus was. And an armadillo eats their liver out eternally. For the punishment of having written, she's got legs, and she knows how to use them, thereby disabusing us of that misapprehension that we were all toiling underneath. She has legs, but she seems to sit there inert and disinterested. One wonders, is this willful, or does she actually possess the knowledge and simply lacks the will? It doesn't answer that question. It just says she knows how to use them. And then because the cliche armadillo digs deeper into the viscera, she never begs. You can guess what's fucking coming next. You can guess. Your aunt could guess. Your aunt, who doesn't like ZZ Top. Oh, she does, because she's your aunt. You guys are young. I forgot. I'm your aunt's age. I'm older than your aunt. I'm your aunt's aunt. That's how fucking old I am. Your aunt's doing her nails, and she's like, oh, I remember that one. We used to call it crank instead of meth. Rumor is spreading round in those Texas towns about a shack outside LaGrange. How, 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 how. How, how, how. So I was watching their documentary. Yeah, they have a documentary. I don't know who fucking threw this shit together. Because it's not like they followed him around on their rounds or whatever. It's like they kind of got them at home and they're like, yeah, well, then we had an armadillo. And I swear to you, no one had ever done that before. Yeah, because you could kill an armadillo. The reason why Led Zeppelin didn't bring armadillos on stage, well, the chief reason, there was a bunch of reasons. Listen, we're getting diverted here. The myriad reasons why Led Zeppelin didn't bring armadillos on stage is like a whole series of podcasts. And it'll be on NPR. And the woman who introduces it will be like, Led Zeppelin and the Armadillos, Chapter 4. Brought to you by gigantic oil companies. They're completely unapologetic. But they've helped fund this thing, so they hope you're distracted while you're driving your hybrid. They never begs. They knows how to choose them. And, so I don't know that it's worth it, but in any case, the armadillo, and they had a steer, I think, and a bear or a bison or something on stage as well, which they discussed. In their documentary. And at no point did an animal control or animal rights officer at any point enter the picture and go, well, having done due diligence with the decibel output of the rock and roll being played in a bluesy way, I have determined that the bison's ears will be harmed scantly, if at all.
and that it remains to be seen whether the armadillo will be able to roll into a ball after it hears LaGrange.
Now, Led Zeppelin, on the other hand, I know people are like, really, you're gonna? Don't. I fucking will. It's my show. You have a badge. You can go anywhere you like, man. Tilda Swinton's after party night now is off the chain. People are making a carpet and laying it in front of her. That's what's happening. While she sneers affably. I love your movies. I know. So in my room was this, what would my Aunt Marge would have called a swamp killer. Like it was just air conditioning. The principle of air conditioning is there's a team of small dinosaurs like in the Flintstones and a block of ice and they're all blowing on it. And that's how the cold air circulates. And if you pull the front off an air conditioner, the dinosaurs are there and you go, what are you doing? They'll be like, it's a living. And then you put the thing back. But a swamp cooler is like, you know when your parents or grandparents would give you a folk remedy? And while, thank you. While there, something terrible would happen to you, like you'd fall from the top of the monkey bars, from the primate bars, whatever they are now. I know this is, the governor here in Texas is really worried people are getting woke. Because when people get woke, oh my God, people's feelings get respected. It's fucked up, I'll tell you that much. When you can't just call people by hideous racial epithets from the 1800s, it really cramps democracy. I don't know if you know that. If I can't call you a bohunk poltroon or whatever, my day isn't set anymore. If I can't get angry at a road sign that says yield and just shoot it, no one tells me to yield. That's the price of freedom, okay? I've got arms, and I know how to use them. He never slumps. He knows how to... So a swamp cooler is a box that you fill with water, and then it grows microbes and mold. And then those are spread amongst the house so that they can go deep into your lungs. This is before COVID. And give you a combo platter of diphtheria and rickets. So you walk funny and you can't breathe and you cough up a small dormouse every third step, right? It's like, bleh, you know, and then your Aunt Marge would be, oh, just put it, have some almond roca. Never mind, Shig. So in my room in San Antonio, I was sitting in my tiny, tiny balcony and with my bear like this watching them. The boats go by and the horses be tortured. And it was so cute. And is there music or something? The whole crowd's over. Yeah, Greg, it's Austin. Maybe you didn't get the fucking newsletter, but Austin's town motto is music. We don't have a lot of other shit. No one comes here to see them build the giant hotels. People come here because there's a guy in a bar going, fucking, why do I still live here? When I could live closer to the industry. So, of course, we welcome the sound of white people music because that's what South by Southwest is all about. We've removed the South from South by Southwest and replaced it with the West. You won't ask why, you'll ask how. So the swamp cooler in my room was emitting a foul odium of Legionnaire's disease. And I got so high that it was dripping, but the drips could be timed. And there was a wet part of the rug that was really icky. Like, yeah, like a Harrison Ford movie. Like, don't touch that part. And, like, that part's wet. And so, you know, you're in your room, so you don't have your shoes on. I mean, you know, I'm wearing, like, you know, fucking Minnie Mouse hat and a butt plug. But this is just how I relax. So I'm high, and I'm like, I have to go use the bathroom. but I have to remember that the swamp cooler full of Legionnaire's disease is pouring intermittent drips in a kind of a 4:18, you know, bump, bump. Bump, bump, right? So you have to, God damn it, what happened? Oh, fucking pieces of shit. This is why you can't trust technology, because right when you're doing a riff about something, it'll explode. Oh, it turned itself off too. I'll fix you. Or is it dead? This has happened to me so often lately. And then I know what you guys are thinking. Duh. You don't seem to have any grasp of how it works. You're recording, aren't you, Kurt? Kurt? Lawrence, Kansas. This is Lawrence, Kansas. Is anyone out there? Kurt, you're recording, right? I don't know if I knocked this. I don't know if it stopped recording when I knocked it off. Or this Zoom's been on a lot of shows with me. It might have simply stopped recording when it heard some of the same bullshit. Because I think I've got it to that point where it's so sensitive now that the Zoom gets bored during the show. You think you're... Whoa! So I'm going to the bathroom in the shag rug, but I completely mistime it and forget and walk right under the fucking swamp cooler and it goes blonk, blonk right on my face. So now I'm in the bathroom and I'm washing my face and I'm like, all right, when you come back out, remember, there's a drip and there's a big wet rug part. Don't step on the rug. Don't fucking get hit by the drip. Finish washing my hands. Walk right back out. Boom, boom. Step on the rug. I'm like, fuck! How do they have mildew like that? In a hotel. It's just awesome. And the best chili killies I've ever fucking had. So... we're going around Texas here. Lake Palestine, where my relatives lived, there was a fish in the lake. And you would think, oh, going back to the fish, of course, as I said, I don't go outside a lot unless it's to stop the car and get coffee or whatever. But the lake didn't have trout. Or I don't know what fish live in lakes, you know, groupers and swordfish and... mermaids, I don't know what live in. Ariel, and what's the other fish that's in all the Disney? Nemo, thank you. Finally. I'm in effect, that's a South by Southwest record that no one can name Nemo through my awesome charade. Clearly that's Nemo. See, if you're actually laughing at charades, that proves how horribly effective that game is. Charades is one of those things that should be decried from the highest rooftops, because anytime someone says, let's play it, you should be like, you don't have any alcohol or anything? Like, not even wine? But then everybody laughs at it. And as someone once called Whose Line Is It Anyway, the greatest review of all time, Chip Esten's next door neighbor, Chip Esten, the country star from Nashville, was on Whose Line, and I toured with him for about 15 years, and he said his neighbor came over and said, I watched it. It's just a bunch of assholes playing charades. Which it is. And so at Lake Palestine, the hotel where I would stay, didn't you stay with your parents? No. So... There are people who get along with their parents, and I love you for that. I think you're awesome. I meet people from time to time, and they're like, I love my parents, and we go on vacations together, and I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That is awesome. That is a win, you know. If I had parents that I would want to go on vacation with, I would have been a different person. Not funny. Or have any insight, but I understand why it's important to you to have that thing in your life. So... My father would say things like, they didn't have drugs in this country till the Beatles. And like, so they brought them all in, did they? That must have been quite a task in the 60s. There must have been a couple hundred million people in the United States then. And it's only four guys. I mean, they have the drum kit, I guess. They could put some extra reefer in there to fuck up my family. Like Palestine, the hotel that was nearby, had a fishing tournament. And the fish that was in the lake there is called a crappie. So there was an enormous banner that they'd gone to the banner store and had made that said, "Welcome fishermen to the crappie-thon." And when you pull in there with your wife, there's moments in your relationship when they're just like, "Thank you." You'll be hearing from my lawyer. Crappie-thon. We know we're in East Texas or West Texas, whatever. No, East Texas. So yeah, we know it's a crappie-thon. The sign is superfluous and repetitive. We knew it was a crappie-thon before we knew there was a fish called a crappie. It was already pretty crappy. One liquor store, really, really cute, wine and cordials and whatnot, and for the white people. And then another liquor store that wasn't for the white people. You learn so much when you come to Texas about history. It's drenched with history. Some of it's still living. And I seem to have lost you with that one. Although I dare say the ZZ Top well is getting pretty dry. I've made myself hysterical. In that town, Coffee City, I really do hear something, don't you? Yes. But not like someone's playing, but like bar music.
Yes. Amazing.
Thank you. Someone just went, "Amazing." I'm going to take that as my cue to start the comedy. Here we go. No one can say Greg let it sit there too long. So we're in San Antonio. I've just avoided the drops. I've got Legionnaire's disease. And I'm like, fuck it. I've never been, I'm going. So I go to the Llama's like across the street, right? So I walk over there and there's gift shops fucking everywhere. And although why you would want to, never mind. So there's an enormous sign in front of the Alamo for an exhibit they're having at the Alamo Museum, and it says Bowie. And I'm like, this is gonna be great. So I go in, and fucking no Bowie at all. Just this slave driver dude and his knife and whatnot. It was so fucking boring and racist. And I was like, this said Bowie out front. Don't you think that's kind of fucked up? And when you go to the Grand Canyon, it doesn't say Rolling Stones. Right? Get near the edge. There they are. Fucking Alamo. So, oh shit, we gotta start. I've done many gigs here in Texas and I've enjoyed many of them. We played at one time in San Antonio for a group of rich Episcopals. We met the priest beforehand. This will give you an idea of what year it was. They based their party theme on the movie The Aviator, because they wanted no one to have any fun and they wanted to be dressed awkwardly through the whole drunken melee. So first of all, theme parties, always fun. Like group fun, right? Someone went, yep. I forgot where I am. We're at South by Southwest. This is a fucking theme party. Here, I'll do some of the guys in costume. That's the theme. I leave it to you when the party is. Yeah, I don't like to carry cash because, you know, then I have to, you know, give money to people. Yeah, I'm working on some great apps and shit that's tech talk. There's the extent of my game here. I couldn't even make a deposit at the Silicon Valley Bank. That's how tech deficient I am. You know, The idea that it would hurt Peter Thiel or make him cry in any way, I have to say, I'm riding an enormous Schadenfreude submarine all around the pond of his despair. If the failure of the Silicon Valley Bank in any way causes Peter Thiel at one point in his day of fascistic nonsensory and douchebagic fuckery, at any point, if Peter Thiel climbs down from the mountain of Bitcoin that he stands on and into the lower depths where the rest of us have to go smoke weed outside the Esther's Follies near the Velveeta room where hetero guys have debased glass bricks with no idea whatsoever how they should be lit. If all of this is happening, at any point, if Peter Thiel, a tear rolls down his face like a Oompa Loompa watching the Augustus Gloop drown or whatever, like, oh, I'm so sad. His pain, as Harvey Keitel says in the movie Thelma and Louise, is my goddamn mission in life. If you think that makes me a bad person, I'll have to answer to a higher source. I'm a comedian, not a saint, as they say. Or as the Count of Monte Cristo says at the end, when he's killed everybody, I'm a count, not a saint. You know, there's people in the world like Greg Abbott and whatnot, and Attorney General Paxton. And I, you know, if it makes me a bad person that I don't want them to be happy, then I'll take that one. I'll take the hit. I'll take the karmic hit for our team. I will eat a bowl of stewed fuck made out of right-wing kibbles. If I have to listen to people say that anything woke is a problem, and that the problem is that today, the Silicon Valley Bank was run by people who were too woke. That was the problem, according to the Nazis of our country. And they're Nazis. You never hear it on the news, and you'll never hear it on NPR, PBS, or anything like that. And even on the alternative news, like Amy Goodman, she's kind of a, you know, partial psychopath. I mean, she hasn't gone like full Russell Brand yet. She's not standing on front of a double-decker bus with a chipmunk in her balls or whatever going, I'm the Messiah and I hate Hillary at the same time, you know. It hasn't reached that fucking point that all of my contemporaries seem to have taken some insane amount of fucking Pravda pills in their halftime. I'm taking the Joe Rogan, Jimmy Dore, I'm a psychopathic Russian apologist approach to comedy, which has been so funny over the years. Think about how many great radio comedians there were in Nazi Germany, and think about how many we know now. It's not a course you really want to take at the end of the day, comedically, because there will come a day when youth will pass away. What'll they say about me? When the end comes, I know he was just a podcaster. No one will go, God, it was so cool when they said not to wear masks and not get vaccinated, and a million people died and the country became split on a schism of what the media called polarity. But really what it boiled down to was angry people wanted to be stupid and they wanted to be left alone to be stupid. And if in any way you interfere by having a dick at the same time you have a pussy or something, or whatever it is that has them in a tither, that a small child would watch a person in drag and go, oh, my life's better. If that's the thing that ruins their world and they have to shoot everybody at every Sunday school or whatever till the end of time and then never make a law against it to prove a point that they can go shoot Sunday schools up. And fuck you, Mr. Woke. You're ruining everything by making people feel good about Nemo. They don't call them Nazis in the news, but what are they? And don't give me, though, not all of them. Really? If it wasn't all of them, then maybe the smarter ones could have called some of the dumber ones and had a chat at some point and gone like, COVID's for real. That's why people are dying. That would be the real part of it, when they die and shit. And when they have long-term effects from having it 15 fucking times because they were too stupid to fucking take the vaccine. How does it make them stupid? Isn't it a choice? Look, is there anyone in here who doesn't have a polio fucking shot or a diptet? I said diptet. You fucking heard me. I don't even know what it stands for. DIP is for diphtheria and TET is for the Tet Offensive of 1968, which was a surprise at Christmas during the Tet holiday. The North Vietnamese army swooped down upon the Americans unwitting, and we had to fight a desperate effort. And you have to be inoculated against that propaganda. You see, in American history, there's things like Vietnam was a war. Sure. Sure. You define war, right? And then they'll say things like, Ronald Reagan stopped communism, except that 1.5 billion people are communist. That'd be about 1/3 of the world. So stop communism or arrested in a couple of areas in a harsh way using cocaine and army officers. And then you get to Texas, and obviously, wokeness is what's ruining this place. You used to be able to be somebody here. And then somehow the government changed. Wait a minute, that didn't happen. I'm always wondering what they're so upset about. You've had one Democratic governor. When I say you, don't freak out. I know none of you are from here. I'm getting kind of a... Colorado, for real, one or two East Coast people. Yeah, see? Notice how few there were? And then a lot of Cali. Yeah. I can smell a fucking crowd a mile away. The day that a bunch of Texans buy a badge and come to a show here, when they could come any night and see shitty improv here for $8 or whatever... Isn't that what they do here? Someone went, okay, come to see salamander noises. Give me all your salamanders, all your loves and newts too. There was one Democratic governor that I can even recall in Texas, and that was Ann Richards, and she lasted one semester until everyone freaked out. But in those days, there was still, you know, like George Herbert Walker Bush, W's father, his father was Prescott Bush. And I'm not, don't worry, there's no quiz or nothing. But the way W, go to Austin, you know, I used to have some good times there. So, you know, do a little... It's hot. Get it everywhere. It was a mess. That's new, because Herbert Walker and Prescott talk like this. Say, I can see Negroes on the perimeter. Oh, Raul, won't you pile up more stacks of money so we can drink in safety and quiet? Then you may retire and bask in the glow of utter servility. So that whole Texas hat thing that the Bush people, and now the airport in Houston says Bush and on it all the time. We have one in D.C., there's the Reagan airport. And Ronald Reagan fired all the air traffic controllers at Christmas time so that there could be no air travel. So were you to possess a sense of irony... and you were a Republican, what would be the thing you would name after him? Well, you're not going to call it Improved Memory Airport. And you're not going to call it AIDS Crusader Airport. So why not pick on the other group that he tried to decimate, the hardworking air traffic controllers? Or as they were known in that inconceivably shambolic piece of shit, Tin Men. Thank you for the one person. Also, a dude here said he had a film podcast. You better know what fucking movie Tin Men is. So, I didn't hear what you said. The Bush family gets an airport named after them, and Reagan gets an airport named after him. And then You don't think this is true because you're young. And Orange 45 came in the middle of your life. Orange 45 is on my far turn, right? I can see the finish line. It's not close, but I can fucking see it. It's shimmering in the dust. Whereas you're like on the first turn of the second quarter and 45 happened in the middle of your life. So you're like, it's normal to have a psychopath who shoots drugs out his nose and tells us to put bleach in our eye when a million people die. That's cool, right? Because at no point did the news say it wasn't. You could have lived through the entirety of George Floyd, the summer of 2020, a million people dying, fucking riots where police went bananas in the streets in every, God damn it, in every city in the country. And the news's response to it is, wow, he really shoots from the hip. Oh, and then ordering the attack of the Capitol and refusing to give up the presidency and then not accepting that COVID existed and then not accepting that Biden was president. And I keep thinking, how do my cousins have time for all of this? You have a dead refrigerator in your backyard. Maybe you ought to get that fixed up before you start attacking the Capitol and fixing democracy, okay? You have other tasks that are, one, more pressing, and two, something within the realm of your capability. Your zip ties and your gimme cap and your broomstick or whatever that you brought with you that said Trump on it, that you tried to beat a policeman to death with, isn't as effective a weapon in securing democracy as getting that fucking refrigerator off your lawn because kids are getting in it and shit. I think there's a family of snakes, vipers, whatever they call them. Texas has produced some august personages in American history, and they are Ann Richards, as I said, Janis Joplin, Barbara Jordan, and that's it. And then LBJ, and Lady Bird. By the way, if there was no Lady Bird, again, there's no LBJ. LBJ was president from the Kennedy era to through into the Nixon era. That's how we'll frame him. And he was a hard ass. Biden is the friendly version of LBJ, right? Because Biden will go, God love you. No kidding. All kidding aside, like, you're not being funny, so you don't have to say you're not kidding. Because I'm not laughing yet, but I get it. I get what you're saying. You're trying to be serious. But LBJ would bring people into his office and go, I have recordings of you, you know, having Congress with a quadruped. And I'd like your vote. And the people would leave the office singing his song. That was how LBJ played. He was a hard ass, as they say. But he also did something, tried to do something that no president did since then until Biden, which is alleviate poverty in the United States. He perceived the disease of poverty, people being poor, as the endemic cause of all frustration, dissension, and polarity. And what was leading to the gigantic political rift that eventually became where we are now. There were such a thing as Republicans who wrote intelligent position papers. I'm not kidding. I'm not just telling you this because I'm old Uncle Grandpa and shit. I didn't say I agreed with him. I fucking hated them too. There's been no good Republican president in ever, okay? Ever. Lincoln. He only killed, what, a million people? Who were all American. It's all how you look at things, isn't it, really? So I've been listening to a lot of Joe Rogan lately, and he has got some good fucking points, man. I'm going to quit drinking this water, and I'm going to take some supplements. And why do we care about Ukraine? What are they anyway? They don't even have a consonant at the beginning of their name. That one made me. That one, thank you. I heard someone laugh from the booth, I think. So we're doing this gig for these drunk Episcopals, and their theme is the aviator. And so there's people there wearing fedoras and like women in like, you know, Howard Hughes 20s, floozy. Speaking of American figures, Howard Hughes, you guys, wow. He was really rich when I was a little kid, and then he passed away, and they made a movie about him. Because Howard Hughes' bag was, he lived at the top of the hotel that he owned in Vegas in a surgical bed, like a gurney, and he watched the movie Ice Station Zebra with Rock Hudson and Patrick McGoohan over and over. Now, if you've ever seen Ice Station Zebra, that movie could have been charged at The Hague with war crimes because it's so boring and so awful. It's an action film that takes place in a stranded ship in the Arctic. Are you following me? It's called Ice Station. Boo! Boo. And he ate Baskin-Robbins banana nut ice cream. And that's all he did. He was wheeled in there at one point, and he was taken to the top, and then he lived there till he died. And I'm not even going to tell you the other awful things he did. At one point, he owned a movie studio, and he was a famous aviator, which is to say he was a white guy douchebag, asshole, dickhead, heedless of human life and limb. Because that's what aviators were in those days. I've seemed to have gotten off on the Howard Hughes thing, but it reminds me that Led Zeppelin... It wasn't a hard and fast rule about armadillos. It was a guideline. Bonzo, evidently, one time had tried to sneak a hedgehog or something on stage at a gig in Chelmsford, and they were like, no, it's his, it'll hurt, and the, a whole lot of love, it won't like it, and whatnot. And by the way, me riffing it is crisper than Led Zeppelin sounded. I'm from then, and they did not sound good live. What? What's happening? It's like water buffalo mating in a giant mire. So they're all dressed like the aviator. And one thing you can count on with religious people, unless they're like Southern Baptists or something, but generally religious people. The worst people to perform for are a group of doctors. Yeah. Strangely, nurses, awesome. Nurses are druggy. Nurses are of every ilk. There are nurses are not all one big group. There are many different groups represented within the nursing profession. Doctors tend to have this weird God complex asshole BMW driving, I don't give a shit whether you live or die because I say so, feeling about comedy. So when you perform for them and you'll do a joke, doctors will be like, so I'll take that under advisement. Lawyers are slightly better. Ad people can be good if they're coked up and shit. Pharmaceutical reps, awesome. It's all young women and young guys in their 20s and 30s, a pharmaceutical rep convention, who have with them an attaché case full of drugs. And somehow they get to carry them around. You or I, if you had the kind of fucking Norco stash or whatever, that these people are opening, have so much drugs in their attaché cases, they could do a presentation at a museum and put their name on it, right? That's how much opioids they have with them. And they're a good fun to play for. But one thing about religious people is they're going to get shit-faced. And in a corporate situation, you should never drink with the people you're going to do comedy for. Unlike here, like you noticed I came out and talked to you and came out before the show because this is different. This show is a part of your day that you were in for like an hour and 10 minutes. I expect as the day goes on, you're like, remember when we were in that room? And then someone else will go, you mean this room? Right? But a regular comedy show requires magic. What do you mean? I mean, people have to be fooled by your jokes. And if you're familiar with people before you tell them jokes and they get to know you a little bit, your jokes will not work anymore. The glitter rubs right off of Gandalf if you have dinner with Gandalf. If you eat dinner with Gandalf after dinner when he goes, "And now the hobbits will gather around me and we'll all go down to Rivendell," you'll be like, "Come on. Bullshit. Make a plate dance or something." "Cheap tricks are all you, that's all you expect of me. What is Texas without Mexican food, Oklahoma? Oklahoma!" And so they invited us for drinks with them. Me and Chip, it was, in fact. And Chip I love because Chip is actually politically different than I am, and we're very good friends. And he gets uptight at a corporate gig. Like, he worries that we're not going to do well. We were doing this one in Boston, and a guy got up, and a guy who ran the company, and he was British. And because he was British, he really, really thought he had it going on. And so before we got on stage, all you have to do is go, "Here's from Whose Line Is It Anyway? It's Chip and Greg, and they're going to come out and fuck around." And that would be enough. And he said, "When I first saw Whose Line, he's up, he's up. Small boat on the river outside of Cambridge. The sparrow was on the wing and the dew was on the thorn. I remember that the snail turned its head and spring sang itself into being. Hey, nonny, nonny, hey, nonny, nonny. In springtime, the only pretty ring time, sweet lovers love ring-a-ding. So I found the show absolutely marvelous. You see, they're taking suggestions, and they're a bunch of assholes playing charades." He gave this fulsome introduction, and I could see the audience, as they say, fidgeting. As we say in the comedy profession, we like to cut down on the chit-chat. And they were fidgeting. And Chip is pacing back and forth. "This fucking guy is going on forever. We're never going to..." I go, "Relax." We walk on stage and I go, "Thank you very much, Nigel, for your introduction. I guess that puts paid to the notion that all British people are witty." And so there's always, where there's a will, as Ian McShane says, where there's a fucking will, there's a fucking way. We're at this party and we have drinks with them. And then what happens at all corporate parties is, it's, we're going to have dinner, you know, from, we're having a raffle, and then the dinner, and then, like, dessert and coffee, and you guys should be on around 8:30. Well, that means 11, 11:30, 12, whatever. The clock spins out, you know, calendar leaves are falling and all that. So they finally call on us to come down, and they're not just ripped, they're fucking shit-canned like a biker conference. I mean, you've never seen, and by the way, every table was, I think, a $2,500 or $5,000 seat. So every table was a $50,000 table, right? And there were Episcopal priests there, and they're fucking, "Wah!" And then the guy comes out, "Hey, y'all, we're going, hey, come on." And we come on. And I got on stage, I swear to you, and I had to a room of 2,000 Episcopals, go, "I need all y'all to shut the fuck up." Which they did. Then we did our little improv games. And we do a game where we have moving people, right? A person comes out, we bring someone out of the audience, they have to move their arms and legs. We brought a woman out of the audience who was so drunk that we explained the premise of the game, and she was like, "Mm-hmm," and then nothing. Then I explained the premise of the game, nothing. I explained the premise of the game 5 times. Finally, I said, "We've been doing improv for 30 years, and this is the first time I've had to explain the premise of this game 5 times in a row." And so because it was a game where she had to touch us, she just grabbed Chip's ass the whole time and hung on to it like a periwinkle at high tide. You know how periwinkles and whatnot, they have the feathers that... That was the whole improv show. So Chip and I have this big finish planned. Chip's got a guitar and he's a good guitar player. So we're gonna sing a song, right? So we're like, "Okay, we're gonna finish and then I'll look over at you and then we'll fucking get a subject to sing a song about." Fucking, we finish a game and one of the drunk priests jumps on stage and he goes, All right, that's it. Thank you. All right, let's go. And we were like, he had the guitar in his hand, and we looked at each other and went, good night. It was one of the greatest gigs I've ever been at. My wife was with me. She was upstairs. I came up. She's like, is it over? I'm like, oh, yeah. I've seen better behavior at a coked up Scottish party. I did a Scottish ad party once where as I was walking to the microphone to start the awards banquet, a Scottish guy got out of the audience and tried to headbutt me. That was the beginning of the show. By the end, at the end of the night, all the tables and chairs were knocked over and people were jumping from table to table without trying to touch the floor. That was where we were at, stylistically. Excuse me. Okay, that was it. See, now I look at my phone and then it gets all confusing. And that's what S-By, is that what we call it? South By? I love that South By Southwest is so long. It's those extra two syllables, man. I could be getting major puss if I wasn't wasting all this time saying the words South and West. Like, I just go, hey, you want to get a taco? I'm over at South By. Staying over at a little boutique hotel. It's called the Motel Seis. It's just over. It's nice. You know, I prefer to get my own food and stuff. You know, just get them Postmates, whatever. Working on some great apps. Did I tell you that? So the Oscars last night, I don't know if anyone watched, because I know you were all here, and a lot of you were out at the Tilda Swinton before party. Where it was just Galliano, and people painted sculptures and stuff, people dressed as painted sculptures. What kind of party would Tilda Swinton have, right? They'd just be like, oh, it's just Drambuie. And then people don't talk every third minute. And then someone will say Visconti, and everyone will go, Do we really have to go outside to smoke? Oh, having a baby. I can't believe it. You have to stop smoking for 3 weeks. I know that you weren't watching them, but I was. And the Oscars broke with 100 years of precedent and gave Oscars to people who weren't white last night. So there was a kind of a breakthrough moment. They didn't want to give the actress who played Emmett Till's mother an Oscar, and they didn't want to give Viola Davis an Oscar because she's our greatest living actress. But they did give, excuse me, a bunch of Asians people and actors Oscars, and James Hong was there. James Hong, excuse me, I have no idea what crawled inside of me just then. I think it's all that music coming from outside. It stirs up the dust reticules, and they combine back here. It was a great night. Award shows are hilarious to me. Because like when music, they'll go like it's the Grammys. It's music's biggest night. And it's like, music's not aware of that. Music's an enormous thing that we all enjoy, kind of connects the whole world. The anima that binds us one to the next. Everyone loves a beat. Everyone loves music. Everyone connects to it, except for people who listen to right-wing talk radio all day, but their heart's already a burnt, you know, charred obsidian piece of refuse that has no hope of any humanity. So we have to write them off. In other words, the governor. I'm sure Greg Abbott doesn't sit around and go like, that is some ass-kicking Ja Rule. But everyone else likes music. And no, music doesn't need a night. Music has every night. Here in Austin, for instance, you can hear music any bloody night of the week. And during the festival, they actually organize it so that you can hear music. And then the Oscars are like, it's movie's biggest night. And you're like, I think the night that you really enjoy a movie is movie's biggest night. That's when movies get through to you. Watching people congratulate, when they go like, the craft of film is one of the bravest art forms there is.
you have to write a treatment and then take it from studio to studio and endure countless rebuffage until you find a relative who works at one of the studios. The art of acting was one of the most challenging in all of the acting realm. One is required sometimes to not only portray a Korean farmer from the 1930s, but also a French detective with a mustache that is uncomfortable.
If any of you have ever acted, it's fucking easy. Here, I'll act for you right now. Fuck you! Man, Greg was really mad for a minute.
Sometimes you have to wear a hat and pretend you're another person.
That's why I love actors that make it fun. actors who make it hard drive me crazy.
Actors who are like, oh my God, I have to really think about it.
Well, it's written there. I mean, not that you shouldn't do research, but Jeremy Irons, that's acting.
Yeah.
Right? Who am I this time?
You're Pope Rodrigo Borgia, the most corrupt of all the popes.
Yes.
Do you think he agonized over it at all?
Bring me a virgin and slather them with olive oil. Edict.
Okay, now you're something different, Jeremy. You're Neville Chamberlain, the Prime Minister, before England joined the war in World War II.
Ah, yes. Well, bring in this Hitler.
He doesn't change. You change. You change. Different movie, different plot. Oh, right, he's different in this. Sean Connery spent a career doing the same role over and over. No one complained. At no point did you go, he's not from Egypt. What was the one? Highlander? He was an Egyptian Spanish prince. He was an Egyptian Spanish prince in Highlander, Sean Connery. And he went,
you want to, yes. You want to keep this attached to this.
That's so Egyptian Spanish. The magic of movies isn't that a bunch of people worked on it. The magic is that we'll suspend any disbelief. The Greeks discovered this thousands of years ago. That's why they put people in masks and in platform shoes who stomped around the stage and went, oh, vengeance! And then took out a snake and went, I'm fucking my cousin! Because if you've ever seen a Greek comedy, that's what they're like. There's not a lot of subtlety in Greek comedies. My God, his dick, it's gone wild. You know, like, okay, there's act two.
The art of cinematography is one of the most intrepid. You have to make sure the camera is both in focus and clean.
What if we all had an award show to celebrate ourselves for doing a job that we already do?
The art of constructing a dick joke is one of the most arduous and complicated in all of comedy. First, the right euphemism has to be plucked from the thesaurus or any other tiny dinosaur that's running by.
I had a lot of politics I was going to do. Jennifer's going to kill me. We have a couple minutes. All right, here's the boring, preachy part. first, to finish on the Oscars. Jimmy Kimmel is a nice person. That didn't mean anything. That was pure coincidence. And, much to his credit, he hasn't become a psychopathic Republican weirdo. Which every other comedian, bar like four, it seems to have struck. Because they can smell that fucking Spotify money or whatever, you know. And if anyone's here from Spotify, I'm available. You know what the problem is with this country? Bitches. Who's with me? See, I couldn't even do it convincingly. That's the bad part. Even if I wanted to be a fucking putrid right-wing sellout, I would fuck it up. Be like, man, when you're shooting those bullets, it's they come out of the gun. Is it upside down? No. No, it's all right. Okay. Is that it, the writers who wrote last night's comedy for the Oscar show had a man in a bear outfit. I don't know if you saw. A guy came out in a bear outfit. And then they had Malala, the extraordinary, who's a young lady now, but was a teenager when she was shot in the eye by right-wing terrorists in her own country because she dared to go to school and then was pulled out of her high school classroom and given the Nobel Peace Prize. They had a joke where the bear attacked her at one point. And yeah, the reaction you're doing right now is exactly the reaction America had while it was sitting at home. People were at home going like this, uh-huh. So the teenage girl who won the Nobel Prize who got shot in the eye has to endure a talk show joke right now. You know, we brought Nelson Mandela out. Will you sit down, Mr. You know, Mother Teresa... That I could have done without. And they brought a donkey on stage. And I'm all for donkeys. If you're making a Lars von Trier movie. Outside of that, I'm not for donkeys to be on stage at the Dorothy Chandler Pavilion or wherever the fuck it was, the Xerox Theater of the corporate good. If you have to bring a donkey on to get a laugh, you're fucking... shoot one of the writers and make the other writers watch him die. Or her. It's that woke writing.
That's the thing. ZZ Top wasn't woke. They didn't tell you how to vote. They just go, how many people like to get shit canned on tequila? A lot of people did.
My favorite thing in the documentary was Billy goes,
up until then, you didn't see a lot of people wearing cowboy hats in New York.
You're like, that is an incontestable lie. If at any point the people of New York went, fuck, I just saw that ZZ Top video. I'm fucking wearing one to work tomorrow. Out on the floor of the stock exchange. I got wheat! And I know how to sell it. A lot of people, I'm from California, I'm from San Francisco. We have a black woman from San Francisco as our vice president, thank you. Not as popular as I thought it might be, but then, as I said, there's a lot of people from Colorado here. So, and of course the people from California, I'm getting a kind of a Bernie bro vibe. So the problem is, you see, a lot of times with black women when they succeed, and by the way, her becoming vice president is the most historic thing that's ever happened in the history of presidential politics. President Obama becoming president was one of the most things. Then why is she so important, Greg? She so important, Greg. Because they never had a woman come in the office before that wasn't like cupcakes. So finally, after 1,000 years, not only did we let one in, we let a black one from San Francisco in. And that's why I think so many of you are upset. Because I'm in the Bay Area. For me, it's the happiest fucking year of my life. People around the country are like, oh. And black women on the Supreme Court too, huh? Couple of gay governors, couple of bulldogs. I'm sorry, lesbian. I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings unless they're here. Aren't you happy the country's moving forward? Eh. I just don't like the direction things are going in. So which direction did you like? 2020? Was that the direction you, when the streets were on fire and everyone was dying of COVID? Yeah, but, you know, the vice president was white. It was easier for me. And stupid, so I could feel smarter than him. And bugs liked him. flies with a light on his face to try to draw the evil out of his epidermis. And she's always laughing and talking about policy, and all he did was go, "Fags hurt." The problem is, we've all been addicted to by the news and the media and the telephone. Yes, it's a telephone. People laugh when I call it a telephone. It still is a telephone, even if it's a cell phone. It just means across a distance, which is why there's telemarketing. I'm not even at the market. What the fuck is this? You're calling me and selling me something? I'm not even there. But let me tell you about the way I looked, the way I acted, the color of my hair. Is that competence isn't something we're led to be excited by. Joe Biden is your boring ass competent grandfather who knows a bunch of poetry and is going to boringly tell it to you at the family reunion and shit. I'm sorry, that's what we got. 45 is a psychopathic Nazi. Let me put it this way. We had racists and psychopaths and violent sexual predators as president. We just never had them all at the same time. And that's what he is. And that's why when people are like, he's, nothing can hurt him, right? He's being assaulted 15 different ways legally this week. And by the end of, in a couple of weeks, he'll have been indicted a bunch of different times. And he'll have to stand trial. And there'll be legal ramifications. I know you're going to go, well, I don't know why they just didn't clap him in jail the minute they saw him do something bad. Because it's not the year 1153. But we're not sold that on the news. If Biden's not exciting every moment, people are like, oh, this is so boring. He doesn't stand in front of a helicopter and shoot drugs out his nose. Instead, he goes like, railroads, they're fun. You know. I know, you didn't want to go to the carnival with your grandpa for 4 years, but here we are. And at this carnival, most of the rides work, and if they break, they fix them. They don't just let everyone die and go, shoot bleach in your eye. I have to wrap it up, and I'm going to right now. And I want to say this. Thank you very much for coming out tonight. I really appreciate it. I haven't done a live show in a long time, and I'm really excited to be here. You've been the smartest crowd in the world. I've been the smartest man in the world. May every page you turn be a satchel page. May every bell that rings be a cool Papa Bell. And if you have to buy bonds, make sure they're Barry bonds. I wish you nothing but love. Good night.